In my last job, I worked in philanthropic area for about 5 years. Philanthropy, that's where we focused on the promotion of the welfare of others, especially by or through the generous donation of money and goods to good causes. So I worked in this space where I was in between the needy and those who had. I was in between the haves and the have-nots. And I was between the beggars and the benefactors, those who begged and those who were like, we are able to help. I had the privilege of listening and carrying the cries of the poor. And then I would go before those who had and craft ways and means on how to convince them to give. And so it was an interesting experience for me, kind of a Robin Hood style. You hear what the poor say, you hear their cry, and then you turn to the people who had the wealth or who had some means and tried to speak to them, manipulate them sometimes so that they can give to the needy. And of course, you have to ask them to voluntarily give. But that work experience was so intense in that I came face to face with real poverty in this world. And I actually worked in the Anglican Church setting. So what used to happen is I would meet bishops and priests who are overseeing very, very poor dioceses across Africa, the Caribbean, and Latin America. And it was such, I can't even imagine how some people survived, but it was intense poverty. And I would hear their stories and ask them how they need help, how they can be helped. And then I would come back here, and then I would convince these people that had some wealth to help these people. And it was across the globe. Not only outside America, but even in the US, we have extreme poverty even within New York. People who want to live, who want shelter, but they just can't have it, who want to eat, but they just can't find food. People who want medical attention, but they just can't afford. That was an unbelievable story about how you can live in a world full of poverty, but also full of resources that could help. I remember one time going to a remote part of an Anglican diocese in Tanzania, and I met a bishop who was presiding over about hundreds of priests. And in their churches, the average giving on a Sunday morning will be between $15 to $20 every week. And then they employed one or two priests who needed to be paid from that $15 every week. And a community have only one income, which was an agricultural community, and they depended on one rain cycle. And that cycle, once the rain messes up, the whole year is lost. And they are prone to climatic changes. So if the rains don't come good that year, then they are in for a good, or rather bad year. And so that was their story. Poverty was part of their lives. They don't know anything beyond. There are no opportunities, even if they wanted to work. And so I would meet with them and say, what else can be done in your space? Global statistics indicate that half of the world's net wealth belongs to the top 1%, meaning 1% of the population controls half of the world's wealth. So there is wealth, but it's controlled by only 1%. And the statistics also say 10% of the population of the world controls 96% of the wealth. So if you're not in the 10%, you share the 4% of the wealth. So only 4% is left for the 90% of the population. And of course, the pandemic exposed that so much more, that the wealth grew, multiplied, because they controlled the means of production. The supplies, as we sat home, they came to us, they gave us their food, they provided, their companies were functioning, and they were getting richer, while smaller businesses were closing, they couldn't even have an income. So poverty increased in the world. Even in New York, we hear that poverty during the pandemic increased, but I don't think it increased. It just exposed what was obtaining. So there is poverty in this world. And we need to recognize this elephant in the room. Poverty is the elephant in the room. And when I'm talking about poverty, I'm not talking about professional poverty of people who run around and asking for help all the time. I'm talking about people who want to sleep, but they just don't have shelter. I'm talking about people who genuinely want to eat, but they can't find food. I'm talking about people who want clothing. Truly, they want clothing, but they just can't find it. They are not privileged to find an opportunity that would give them what they need. Howard Zinn, an American historian and philosopher, once said, "The cry of the poor is not always just. But if you don't listen to it, you will never know what justice is." I will repeat that. That the cry of the poor is not always just. But if you don't listen to it, if you don't listen to that cry, you will never know what justice is. We need to pay attention to the cry of poverty around us. Poverty is a global and human fabric. It's part of us. We are born, all of us, we are born with it. It is the elephant in the room. It is on the doorstep of every household. Every household. It is in palaces. It is in wealthier homes. And that's why people do what they do to try to fight poverty. It's not a respect of anyone. And our readings today, especially the gospel reading, is a stark reminder of the existence of this elephant that we need to think about and begin to assess how we relate with poverty in this world. It can be overwhelming, of course. Sometimes you can't imagine where to start from. But it is here, and it's part of our fabric. It's part of us, all of us. We fear the existence of poverty. That's why we work hard. We work in the morning. We try to serve because it is always there waiting anytime. And it doesn't wait for you when you don't have opportunities. It doesn't say, okay, I'll come next week when you have a job. It will come to you whether you're in America, whether you are in Mexico, whether you are in Canada, whether you are in Africa. It works, it's there. It doesn't say, okay, sorry, I'm looking for a rich man. No. And so it comes to all of us. And so if you are born in a place where there are no opportunities, like in Tanzania where I went, poverty won't excuse you because of your situation. When dealing with the issue of poverty, Jesus said in what is known as his mission statement or his manifesto in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to come and proclaim good news to the poor." So the poor were an important component of the mission of Jesus. The mission of the church has something to do with the poor, with the poverty. We have to confront this. At some point, Jesus received some perfume, and then, of course, some of his disciples, Judas in particular, said, "Oh, what a waste. We would have sold this perfume and given the money to the poor." Jesus said, "The poor you will always have." So in a way, it's something we need to acknowledge and something we need to know that it's in existence and it's with us. Even though he doesn't say we will solve it, but we must do something about poverty. Jesus also said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So I'm just trying to give you an understanding that poverty, we must face it, we must talk to it, we must deal with it. Through poverty, we see the goodness and the greatness of God. Why do we have to talk about poverty? Because we are all poor. All of us, we are poor. So it's not about us and them. All of us, as I said, we are born poor and vulnerable. Like in the words of Job, he reminds us in scripture, that famous words we like saying at funerals, to remind ourselves that naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Those words we use them, that we came with nothing, and we will return with nothing. Earlier in the week, I watched the funeral of Queen Elizabeth, and we saw the epitome of the glorious and the majesty of England in celebrating the royalty of Queen Elizabeth. And we saw gold and all well dressed up and well choreographed settings. But what really was amazing to me was the last rites of her burial at St. Jude's Chapel, when they brought in the casket. Silently, somebody came and removed the crown. They stripped her of the crown. Naked you came, naked you will go. They removed the scepter from the casket. They removed the orb. She had nothing, because she came with nothing, and with nothing, she was released. That's the reality. That's why I said we are all born poor. The story of the rich man and Lazarus, the poor Lazarus, is a reminder that we are all vulnerable. We are all poor, and we need someone's help. We need someone to lift us up. In that parable that we read today, I want to suggest that you take the place of the poor Lazarus and ask yourself, what would you want the rich man do to you? If you are the guy who is poor like Lazarus, what would be your wish? What would be your cry? What would be your longing as you gaze at this guy who is privileged? What would you want this guy to do to you? And this is what I'm talking about hearing the cry of the poor. In fact, yesterday was there's what they call the Global Citizen Festival, and there was an event somewhere close here where they are trying to bring an awareness around the world that we have these 90% of the population who live in abject poverty. It was amazing when I used to work in this philanthropic work that sometimes you hear these cries and then you go and then you try to convince those who had to release the resources. And sometimes it's what they call in philanthropy win-win situation. In other words, make the poor happy and also make the rich happy. So you hear the rich, the poor, and you say, okay, I'll see what I can do. Then you go and then craft your statement and write a proposal and tell the rich man how good it is if they gave and what will happen and how make them feel good that when they give, something nice about them will be said or done. And sometimes they look at you and they think they know what they should do, but you're just trying to manipulate and play with their mind and try to encourage them that when they give, and sometimes they don't give because they want to give, but because they want to avoid taxes, there's just so many reasons why they give. But the reality that we need to deal with is, how do we lift the poor Lazarus? How do we extend the blessings to the man who is down waiting for the crumbs to fall from the table? If you were Lazarus, what would you wish? What would you long for? I'm glad that St. Michael's, we're quite active in many ministries that try to hear that cry. The involvement in the Poor People Campaign, our Saturday Kitchen. I wish we can do more, but also at an individual level, we need to begin to ask ourselves, what am I doing? What is my contribution? in my privilege, in my little blessing, what am I doing? I always remind my wife, Monica, that I always say that I want to be sensitive to the things that God blesses us with. Because there are some things, that's my understanding, that there are some things that God gives us that may not be for me. But God is giving me to pass on. But because humanly we always think about me, myself, and I, what if what you get next week is not yours? What if God is giving Julie to give Carol? But because Julie thinks about me, everything just gets stuck and it's here. Grow my bank account and just grow everything. It's good to see. I'm not saying about that it's bad, but I'm just saying, what if God gives it to you to pass it on to another? Can we be trusted? Can God entrust wealth in the hands of the church to pass it on? Can He trust you at the end of the day? Can He say, well done, good, faithful servant, because you did it well, you were a servant, you were faithful. To him who's given much, much is required. So sometimes we need to be sensitive to what God is calling us to do. And also being aware of our surroundings. That parable was a reminder that as much as you eat, he did not say the rich man was wrong. He is simply just saying there are two people, one in need and one in plenty. But to show that poverty is us, poverty caught up with the so-called rich man. When the rich man had died, his vulnerability, his poverty was exposed. And then he says, oh, Father Abraham, oh, Mother Kate, please ask Lazarus to just listen to this story. He says, just ask Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my... He just need a little of what Lazarus had. That's a sign that we just need a little to calm our tongue. It's not... God is not asking us to give everything. He says, just a tip. But the rich man didn't even share the little. But he wanted the little from Lazarus. I think that parable is simply a reminder that we have Lazaruses around us. And it's what we do and how we do it. We will not solve poverty, but we will do something about it. We may not eradicate poverty, but we will reach out to everyone because it is us. Poverty reminds us of our humanness. Ministry, humanness, they are part of us. I want to suggest that you take time and take the place of Lazarus and ask yourself, what do I wish for from that guy who's eating, the comfortable guy? What will be your wish? Food for thought.